SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two officially underway. Let's get after it here. A lot of hot topics to get to, which includes basketball. Yeah, there's still basketball going on because the FIBA World Cup is in action. But before we do that, Joe Ranieri, sometimes we wait for some of these morsels to happen. When is Damian Lillard going to get traded? Will James Harden be happy with the Philadelphia 76ers? But we got an interesting update that wasn't from, okay, Shams or a Woj bomb here. It was direct from James Harden, who looked like he was on the set of a movie and said, you know what? Keep the cameras rolling here, Joe Ranieri. I got something to say about Daryl Morey. Let's watch this video clip of James Harden updating his own situation.
Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of.
Now, there's the video clip. Now, I didn't find out, like, where exactly is he at? Is he in Asia, or is, like, was this on home soil? Where was he getting after this at, Joe? Which felt like, you know what? I'm going to talk about these nice shoes I got with Adidas, but oh yeah, Daryl Morey, can't stand the guy.
Kind of looked like he was in the middle of a mall, didn't he? Like, I don't like what, yeah, like, where are you, James? But more importantly, what you're talking as if Morey owes you something. Morey's job and allegiance should be to putting a winning team around Embiid, not coddling you. And oh, by the way, he wasn't the one that forced you to opt in to the $36.5 million deal. Like, you opted into that offer. You could have become a free
agreement last year. Let me take a little bit less this year. Daryl Morey's going to take care of me on the back end. You know what happens the following year when you know you're not going to get that four-year, $200 million contract from the Philadelphia 76ers? Oh, yeah. You could have pressed the eject button and go, you know what? I'm a free agent out here. But life and reality sets in for James Harden. Why, Joe Ranieri? Because he knew nobody was going to pay him anything close to $35 million a year. But yet, Daryl Morey once again is the villain who brought him into Houston, who rescued him from the Brooklyn Nets, and now is saying, like, hey, look, this is actually your best situation. You're going to make $37 million. We're probably going to have a good basketball team. We're going to make the playoffs. You can showcase your skill set, and next year when you're a complete free agent, you can go out and get that money. But something certainly isn't working out where we figured they were the best of friends and now seem like the worst of enemies here, which then brings me to the 76ers regular season. Let me ask you this question. We hear this a lot. I'm never playing for this team. I won't do it here. Which side is going to cave first? Is James Harden going to be a Philadelphia 76er and in uniform game one in 2023-2024?
I don't really – Morey is not – you've already opted into your contract, right? So technically, Donnie, you're going to get paid from Philadelphia, right? So Morey is only going to trade you if it's good for the Sixers. He's not going to trade you just to appease you. So if he doesn't find a deal suitable
– And as recently as yesterday, USA 98, Spain 88 – in a game where not everybody was available here, and they still were quite impressive.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked it's still at that kind of price there, Donnie, right? Minus 110, it feels like you're missing a zero, because that's how confident I am that this USA team is just going to roll everybody here. A lot was made about, you know, certainly not the dream team that people would have put together here, but quite honestly, it's still way better than the rest of those countries on the list there.
August 26, 8:40 a.m., Team USA versus New Zealand, -36.5. I guess it's like Alabama versus, you know, some MAC school at this point with a total that's listed at 184.5. Another game that caught my attention. How about this one? Jordan versus Greece. Michael Jordan getting 24.5 from Greece. What do you think about that, Joe?
Give me Jordan all day long. Even at 60 years old, I'll still take Jordan. No problem.
There you go. FIBA World Cup here, which again, in about 2 weeks will take place with
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Shane Steichen, what do you think about your... Hey, man, he's right in the building right here. He's rehabbing his ankle. Everything is so good. 2 hours later, where's Jonathan Taylor? He left. He's going to rehab somewhere else. We just don't know where that is. So now we ask the question here once again. I should say the press asked the question once again to head coach Shane Steichen. And he says, yeah, we expect him back to training camp later this week. This is a guy that's so upset with his contract that's already left camp once. We're under the guise of it's an ankle injury or whatever he's rehabbing at this point here. This is not going to turn out well because I don't think Jonathan Taylor's going to, hey, you know what? You guys are right all along. I'm in the last year of my contract. I think I'm a superstar running back, one of the most talented players in the league. And just because you guys don't want to pay me, it's cool. I'll come out. Give me the rock 300 times this year. That's not happening, Joe.
Yeah, no. Listen, kudos to him. I mean, he seems to be pretty adamant about, I'll show up, but, you know, I'm not lending a finger to help you guys, which is going to be a little awkward. To say the least here. But, I mean, Irsay continues to say steadfast in that, yeah, this ain't going to happen.
You have to put in the prelude, like, you're under contract, show up, and you do your job. It's not necessarily that. It's a guy in a final year of his contract. And if you ask the Indianapolis Colts and you say, is he a big part of your future? They tell you absolutely. But the numbers must be so far out of whack where all this animosity is built up because you can very easily rip up that contract. Okay, let's do something short term. And after that's done, we'll franchise tag you, but at least you get more money in your pocket. They're basically saying, no, just show up. And again, we'll give you the football 300 times. We're probably not going to win any games, but thanks for playing. And right. At the end of the year, we'll probably tag you, which is the worst case scenario for running backs looking to cash in on the open market here. But let me ask you this question. If we're looking at Jonathan Taylor, who is going to be a big part of this offense if he shows up, does he show up number one? And also, how's that going to impact, you know, the maturation process here of your young quarterback, even Gardner Minshew?
Well, it's huge. I mean, why do you want that distraction anywhere near the team here? Like, I don't even know. But, I mean, and then Irsay, you know, getting on Twitter – and, you know, just struggling the fire here. Like, what are you doing, Irsay? Like, you're supposed to make life easier for your players, right? Like, you know, draw a line in the sand. Yes, no. I mean, this is just all you keep doing is spitting in his face and telling him it's raining. Like, what are you doing, Irsay? You're not helping Steichen or Richardson or anybody else at this point. I mean, did you look at some of these running backs on the team right now? Like, what in the world? What happens if he doesn't show up? You're going with...
He's lucky to get this paycheck here in the NFL for being a running back. It was the opposite tone that you would take because if you wanted to mend fences, what do most organizations do? Hey, look, we can't negotiate with you in good faith while you're away from the team here. Show up to camp, you know, get a little bit of practice reps here. We'll take it easy on you, but at least we'll see you face-to-face on a day-to-day. We'll help smooth things over and work it out. It doesn't seem like that's the case. And also, showing up, then leaving camp, then showing up again, which leads us to believe he's not happy there. So if he doesn't get a new contract, where's the incentive this year for Jonathan Taylor to play hard? Now, again, he's a professional. He's looking to put up big numbers because he wants a new contract. But when your organization tells you you're not worth what you think you are, but, oh, yeah, show up to work happy, that usually doesn't work out.
Barry Taylor. Or is Jonathan Taylor just going to be like, hey, I'm done. I'll come back. I'll be available next year. I'm sitting out this year. Because I think that is ultimately, I don't see him playing for the Colts unless Irsay gets off and strokes the check here. I don't see Jonathan Taylor playing for the Colts this year.
By the way, if you just go back and watch his highlights, even in high school from Salem, New Jersey, it just looks like it's men versus boys. Then you put it on tapes at Wisconsin. Yep. He's running away from everybody. And he's had an unbelievable early career when healthy. You think he's going to do big things. But if we take a look at the AFC South, I don't know how much it moves the needle whether or not he gets traded because the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I believe are the best team in this division, at a minus 155 price, the Tennessee Titans at a plus 310. Then there's the Colts at a plus 550. So, again, making waves here in the NFL playoff race, I don't think it's going to happen. So even if you are Jonathan Taylor, it's like, okay, I'm going to come back to the team. We're going to be down a lot, throwing in the fourth quarter. I need a good statistical year, which will be interesting. But if we look and say, Yes, he still wants to be traded. He probably would love to go to a new team, but let's also remind ourselves, these aren't other teams in the NFL picking up the phone. Let's just say the Jets. Hey, you know what? Trade us Jonathan Taylor. Good. What can you offer for him? We'll give you a second-round pick. Done. He's on the move. And Jonathan Taylor goes, oh, that's awesome. Great. What do my new contract negotiations start at? And they go, no, we still have you a year under contract. We traded for you this year. We'll talk about it in the next offseason. Somebody, in order to trade for him, is going to have to break the bank to get the guy, or else he's still not going to be happy.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, say it again. I mean, if you're going to take the Le'Veon Bell approach here, I mean, you've certainly, the Jets gave him everything he wanted there, got his big payday, and, you know, P.S. was never the same running back again, by the way, that he was in Pittsburgh. So yeah. Taking a year off isn't a great situation for Jonathan Taylor, but if he's committed, then yeah, because I'm telling you, there is nobody anywhere in or around this situation who believes this thing is going to get wrecked. There is no resolution short of Ursay going, all right, my bad, I'm sorry, man. Now here's the money. I was just messing with you. Yeah. Well, Ursay is adamant about not doing it and not trading.
This question. Let's just say they post a decent number on Jonathan Taylor, something that is attainable. Are you a buyer on Jonathan Taylor? Or does this just feel like at the first instant, I feel a twinge in my hamstring, I'm shutting it down for 6 weeks to prove my point here?
Oh, all of that is in play because, again, this isn't a contender. In nobody's mind is this a contender, but there's a lot at stake for both sides here, including the maturation of a number one quarterback that you just drafted here. So there's a lot at play and a lot to lose on both sides.
There certainly is, but I'll tell you next. Same game parlays, Major League Baseball. You got it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We hit it all today. Now what's left? Major League Baseball preview. Full card tonight? Not necessarily, but enough to whet the appetite here, which includes being in a week where it's new week, new money. On Monday, same game parlays here from the FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's go. Hope everybody had a good weekend, cashed in some tickets, had some fun yesterday with the RBI market and some team totals, but it's time to get back to business here during the week. And today, I'm going to take a look at a three-leg same-game parlay from the Oakland Athletics and the St. Louis Cardinals from a St. Louis Cardinals side here. I name this parlay Left is Right, which means I'm looking at left-handed batters going up against a left-handed pitcher. Donnie, you're crazy. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Hear me out on this. J.P. Sears will be on the mound today. He's a left-handed pitcher. He actually has decent splits here against right-handed batters, which is typically the angle that you would want to attack. However, that's not the case here with J.P. Sears because left-handed batters on the season, a 216 ISO power number against them, a 392 weighted on base percentage. Let's focus, Joe Ranieri, on the past 30 days here in Major League Baseball. How about this? A 667 ISO and a 668 weighted on base percentage. Threw only about 23 batters, but it's a limited sample size. This left-handed pitcher can't get left-handed batters out. So we're going to take a look at, estimated to be in the leadoff spot today, Lars Nootbaar, left-handed batter. You know what he has against left-handed pitchers over the past month here? A 407 weighted on base percentage, which means he'll be on base. Then I backed it up here with Nolan Gorman, a 500 weighted on base percentage as a lefty versus left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. And finally, Tommy Edman, who is a switch hitter who will be batting here from the right-hand side, but that doesn't matter to me. Why? A 500 ISO power number against left-handed pitching. So when I say left is right, let's get after it. Edman and Gorman to record a hit, Lars Nootbaar to cross home plate, plus 301 price. A nice mix in there for us to get after this left-handed pitcher in J.P. Sears.
I love that you went with a game with two teams that have absolutely nowhere to go but the golf course in another 6 weeks. Outstanding, Donnie. I am going to focus my attention with the team down the road from me here who finds themselves as an underdog taking on the Houston Astros here. Now, we got Framber going up against Garrett here. And so you want to talk about lefties. Braxton Garrett and Framber are going to be an interesting combination. And listen, the two best hitters in the Astros are going to be Kyle Tucker and Alvarez, right? So we know that. So we have an opportunity here, I think, to get an under. It's listed at 8 right now. I think Garrett can neutralize those two guys. But the better team to me is Houston here, and it's actually a relatively decent price here. It opened up, I think, 135. It's up to 150, so obviously the money is rolling in, but I think deservedly so, given the fact that the Marlins are just 14-16 against lefties this year. And while Valdez has had some ups and downs, I think ultimately this is a game that that Houston is going to want to win. I think they have the advantages. I don't expect a ton of runs. So keep it simple. Give me Houston and give me the under, and let's cash this ticket and move on to fight another day.
There you go, down in South Beach. And also, let's just get into this game as is here with the Houston Astros and the Miami Marlins. If we are taking a look here at these sides, rising prices, yes, towards the Astros now at a minus 158 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a total at 7.5. What do I like about this game from a Houston Astros perspective is this lineup certainly has been coming to play over the past month in Major League Baseball. We were waiting for this team, number one, to get healthy, but number two, to wake up at the plate. And Braxton Garrett, if you look at his overall numbers, they're not too bad, but over the past 30 days, he has struggled against right handed batters. 225 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage of 382. If we shift the focus to the Houston Astros lineup overall, it looks really good tonight. Just take a look against left-handed pitchers over the past 30 days. Just weighted on base percentages here. Now, Altuve, 578. Alvarez, 389. Tucker, 490. McCormick, 545. Singleton, 642. Welcome back to Major League Baseball. Jeremy Pena, 392. And I'll tell you right now, Martin Maldonado used to be a guy that hits worse than a pitcher. Look at him, 464 weighted on base percentage against lefty pitchers here, Joe, over the past 30 days. So I'm with you. I think Houston is the right side, and you're seeing that from the betting market rising overnight. But also, it's a big ballpark here that you're lining up with, and Valdez is the ace here for the Houston Astros, and we'll see how that one certainly plays out. Now, no lines, I don't think, are just up here yet. But the reason I wanted to bring this game up, it's Pittsburgh and New York. That's the Mets, not the Yankees. It's Priester versus Carrasco as we're looking at who should be starting in this game. Priester is a bad pitcher. Carlos Carrasco is a bad pitcher. So without knowing what the numbers are today, 80 degrees, wind blowing out 10 miles an hour to left center field at Citi Field, I think we're getting runs today. I do, Joe.
I mean, my goodness. I think Carrasco, the last time we saw him was against the Cubs. I think it was his last decision, and somehow or another the Cubs couldn't get to him, which is shocking here. I don't think that's going to be a problem here for both of these teams here. I think the bats are going to be coming out. I think the Mets coming off a nice win last night there, although they had to score 8 in order to be able to get it done, and they were down early. So nice come from behind win. I think they take that into this game. And I think that when it's all said and done, I think the Mets team total may not be a bad look in this one either here, Donnie.
By the way, if we are taking a look here over the past 6 weeks in Major League Baseball, 20 innings pitched as a minimum, I have 16 pitchers ranked on the card today. If we're looking at this Mets-Pirates game, Carrasco is the 14th pitcher out of 16. And how about this? Priester, 15 out of 16. The only worst, J.P. Sears, who I'm going after on my same game parlay. So that just lets you know about, we should be looking at runs today. Optimum hitting conditions. We'll see if it does work out. But how about this? Optimum hitting conditions, 88 degrees in hot Atlanta tonight to the New York Yankees and the Atlanta Braves. And what better way to bounce back for the Yankees being on the road and losing in epic fashion? Going to play the best team in the major leagues right now, and that's the Atlanta Braves. It's going to be tough sledding, and typically when we see these price points here, it's the Yankees laying these type of numbers. Max Fried's going to be on the mound. He's a minus 235 favorite to beat the Yankees tonight with Schmidt on the mound. A total listed at 9. Let's just start here and have some fun. Every day you look at the Yankees, and I don't know, unless it's maybe the Cy Young award-winning pitcher from somewhere back-to-back, don't you always just look to the Braves and say, how can I make money on this team first and foremost?
Listen, Donnie, I'm going to tell you one quick thing here about the Yankees.
Yeah.
if you are planning on betting them, good luck to you, because absolutely not am I going anywhere near the New York Yankees in this spot. Even though Atlanta is just 5-5 here, Donnie, in their last 10, they're not playing great baseball, but there is absolutely no level of confidence with this Yankees team on the road off of that dismal defeat. I think you got to be crazy to spend any money here thinking, even at a, as a $2 dog, the only side I could go to is the Braves. And you know what? I'd even look at the run line here. I think the Yankees are in trouble. And I think by the end of this series, they're going to be under 500, Donnie. That's my prediction here.
Incredible stuff here. By the way, take a look at Max Fried, who has some, had some injury issues here in 2023. Whole season, only 143 batters. But his ISO power number is an 0.75 against those 143 batters. If we focus just on his past couple starts here, he's only faced 40 batters. But his ISO power number combined, 0.26. To lefties, it's a 0. To righties, it's an 0.29. So Max Fried just getting his sea legs back under him today. Good luck to the New York Yankees, who, by the way, actually have hit left-handed pitching quite well over the past 30 days. We'll see what happens tonight. But that favorite here, that's not a slight favorite by any means here. Atlanta looks to keep the good times going in Atlanta. So let's take a look here. Oakland Athletics and the St. Louis Cardinals, my same game parlay. I'm fading J.P. Sears. How about this? Two teams basically going nowhere, but Michaelis on the mound is a minus 210 favorite and a number listed at 8.5 at the total. As I said, 78 degrees, wind blowing out to right field here, double digits. I'm looking for runs today from a St. Louis Cardinals side, but the Oakland Athletics yesterday putting up some runs themselves. So we're looking at an over today with optimum hitting conditions, Joe.
Well, you know, the Cardinals and Busch Stadium have been, it's been notoriously a pretty decent pitcher's ballpark here. Unless, of course, that there was a quality pitcher on the mound, that is. And I don't see quality on the mound here either way. So I'm kind of with you here. I do think even early, I think, Donnie, because if Sears is as bad as we think he is and the numbers show he is, I do think the Cardinals will get out in front early and often. And I even think maybe a first five over might not be a bad look either, as both teams come out swinging and runs are coming and the bullpens are probably getting involved in this game before the sixth inning.
Yeah, if we're taking a look at the lineups here and how they present themselves, like J.P. Sears is a left-handed pitcher, which typically you want to fade lefties going up against him, but that's not the case. And also, as a team here for the St. Louis Cardinals over the past 30 days, take a look at some of these statistics here. The first seven batters that are anticipated in the lineup tonight will go by their weighted on-base percentages, which keep in mind, 320 to 325, that's average. Anything above that is a hitter, you're above average in Major League Baseball. Nupar, 407. Paul Goldschmidt, 365. Nolan Arenado, 337. Wilson Contreras, 459. Nolan Gorman, 500. Tyler Neal, 483. And Tommy Edman at a 470. So you're looking at seven guys above average here going up against Sears on the road and in conditions that quietly aren't fantastic. And
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More of our Major League Baseball preview on a Monday morning edition of the Early Line. SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside, Angels and Rangers. Maybe the last stand here for the Angels, who pulled out a victory yesterday in a close one against the Astros, which saw a Shohei Ohtani home run. We're going to need a lot more of that today on the mound. Sandoval for the Angels, Max Scherzer for the Texas Rangers. A favorite for the Rangers at a minus 180 price and a total that is listed at 9. Are there any hopes here for the Angels? Because if there are, they got to win this game in Texas on the road. Joe Ranieri, do you think they are up to that task here on a Monday?
Well, I mean, Sandoval showed up big, I believe, last time out, right? They needed him big time, and he delivered. But I got to believe here that the edge is certainly going to go with the home team. But I don't know that we're going to get as many runs. I think this opened up at 9, Donnie. I would lean to the under, thinking that Sandoval and Scherzer can limit the opportunities to score here. It feels like a, maybe a 5-2 kind of game. And that's kind of where I'm going to build it around, is that I think the unders and maybe a team total under might be in play for both these teams.
Let me ask you this question, too, because technically you're still trying to make the playoffs with the Angels, but also Shohei Ohtani saying, look, a little bit of arm fatigue here, which is normal for pitchers here, but how normal is it, and would he be saying that, is if they were a game or two up in the wild card standings, let's just say in the NL West. That's always interesting. But also, we saw this in the past with Shohei Ohtani. Is there going to be a time, though, over the next week or two that we see Ohtani just start to bat leadoff because the only thing that matters is getting him as many home runs as he possibly can get? And also, the price point at the FanDuel Sportsbook for the hit a home run, you're not getting anything cheap now. It's plus 260 to hit a home run for Ohtani.
Yeah, no, it's you're almost better off just fading them from this point out, because I just think we're a couple of weeks away from there being a few more off days for Ohtani when it's all said and done here. I just don't see any reason in continuing. And if I'm him and his people and his management, why are you? I mean, it's been a long season, and there's really no reason to risk any of it here, because in all likelihood, it's going to be a very active offseason for you. Just get healthy. That's the thing that matters the most. And I think that line somewhere in that camp has been drawn. It's just a matter of not if, but when they start pulling back.
Exactly. And other teams, general managers behind the scenes, reaching out to Ohtani's camp going, hey, with this money, I better not find any arm faults here down the stretch. We'll see if it impacts them. But a big game tonight, nonetheless, for both sides here, is the Rangers looking to head off the Astros, and also the Angels just trying to see any way they can enter into September, five games or less in that wild card race, to see if they can make a run at things. And by the way, Sandoval, who, you're right, has been very good this season. 477 batters he's faced. Take a look at this. A 111 ISO and a 307 weighted on base percentage. That's pretty good. And also, for a lefty pitcher, that sometimes they'll struggle with power numbers to right-handed batters, that hasn't been the case on the season. 121, last 30 days, 116. So we'll see if he can quiet down these Rangers bats, who obviously have done very well for themselves this year, and also, which includes Corey Seager. Forget about lefty on lefty here. Take a look at this. 27 at-bats over the past 30 days, a 462 ISO, and a 499 weighted on base percentage. He doesn't care if you're a left-handed pitcher, man. He is going to get after it nonetheless. Let's keep it out there on the West Coast here. A little bit of the heartland. Seattle Mariners from the Pacific Northwest going on to take the Kansas City Royals. Totals listed at 8.5 on the Mariners, a -142 price. Lost a tough one yesterday, but now they enter into Kansas City, where it looks like they should gain some more ground, or hope to gain some more ground, in the wild card race. Mariners, Royals, Gilbert, Singer. Who are we looking at today from your perspective here, Joe?
Wow, this is going to be an interesting one. I mean, Kansas City, you got to give them credit, man. The bats have been red hot here over the last month, and Singer is obviously has not had the kind of year that he had hoped that he would have. But again, a humid night in Kansas City, I'm going to think here, where maybe the long ball comes into play, although Gilbert has been really good, and he's going to have to be really good again in this one here. But I'm thinking about backing the home dog here. I think this is one of these spots where it was a tough fought series there between Seattle and Baltimore coming out. Now they got to hop on the road. They got to go to Kansas City, who's been playing really good baseball. This is exactly the kind of game the Mariners have dropped this year, and this is exactly the kind of spot I would look to fade them and back the home dog here with Kansas City.
By the way, also, you bring up a pretty good point here, because most of the time you look at Kansas City, dead team in the water, their bats have really come alive over the past 30 days. And also, if we're looking at the last 6 weeks in Major League Baseball from an XFIP perspective, I told you it's about 16 pitchers, I should say, on the card today. Minimum of 20 innings over those 6 weeks. How about Brady Singer coming in fourth on the card? 4-1 overall, 45 2/3 innings pitched. And how about this? Very manageable, 3.72 XFIP number. So maybe we're onto something. And the one thing that we look at Seattle necessarily is, That's not always like, hey, they'll out hit everybody. That's not really the case. So maybe this little underdog price there coming in around that plus 125 or so here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's keep moving down the list. The Diamondbacks and the Rockies. Now, no official numbers just yet here from the FanDuel Sportsbook. Looks like they'll probably be creeping up a little bit later once we get some official numbers here on the starting pitchers. But right now, across multiple spots, it looks like it's going to be Kelly and Flexen, which the shame of it was, I went for Flexen here, and I said to myself, that's where I wanted to go on my same-game parlay. You take a look at a pitcher that really struggles, and they're in Colorado, 78 degrees. Where do I sign up? Because quite frankly, Flexen on the season, he has been terrible. Flexen over the past 30 days, he has been terrible. So if that's the pitcher that's going to be of record tonight, that's one of those where I'm waiting and licking my chops to see if we can get involved. But as we know, what are we looking at? Two touchdowns on the total tonight with Flexen on the mound?
Yeah, it's I would not look to sweat out an under in this one either here, Donnie. Although, I mean, listen, you got to give Arizona credit. They got to 50 wins, I think, on of it, and they just have every one-run game, every close game, they have figured out ways to lose, and now they finally have put together a couple of back-to-back wins, and they've got. I believe Merrill Kelly, you said, going here tonight for him. So, you know, another guy that you absolutely want to consider backing in a spot like this in a game in which Arizona should win and should have no problem winning here. So I wouldn't lay 250 on him. But to your point, I wouldn't at all mind, even with Arizona, who's had trouble scoring runs since July 1st. I think they're a little undervalued. Maybe a team total up and over for Arizona to keep the feeling rolling here.
Yeah, Chris Flexen on the mound, if he is the pitcher tonight. Last 30 days, 71 batters he's faced. A ISO power number of 373 and a weighted on base percentage of 487. That usually doesn't mix when you pitch in Colorado. So flammable liquids out there on the mound tonight, possibly, and we should be able to get some runs. But again, no official numbers just yet from the FanDuel Sportsbook. Orioles Padres, massive series here. And I don't know who to believe anymore because I don't think the Padres are a very good team. The minute I staked claim to the Padres, I go, you know what? They could probably fight for a playoff spot. They played maybe their worst baseball of the season, which is telling. If we look at today, the Orioles and the Padres will be home. Yu Darvish is on the mound. They are a minus 138 price and a total listed at 8. But I'll tell you right now, is the best pitcher on the mound even on the Padres because Grayson Rodriguez showing up here at a dog price for the Orioles.
Yeah, I love this kid. As a matter of fact, we bet him last week, Donnie, and then Batista gave a grand slam up there in the ninth inning to make me lose that ticket. So thanks again there. But I'm kind of with you here, but we're backs against the wall here, right? So you've got now a homestand coming up over the next, I think, 7 to 10 days here. I think there's 7 or 10 games the Padres are going to be home for. This is a, you know, this is a big series, interleague series, however. You cannot go 5-5, 4-6 in this homestand and think that you're still going to have a chance. So Darvish on the mound, everybody else. I think Walk is back tomorrow. They need to win this game, and it's kind of do or die for them. So I do like the pitching matchup, which is why I'd look to go the under in this one here. I do think this is going to be a close one-run game, one-run affair here tonight.
Take a look at these matchups, too, because Grayson Rodriguez, as we said, like not one of those household pitchers here, but certainly has done very well for the Orioles. But take a look at the last 30 days, Joe. 113 batters he's faced, a weighted on-base percentage of 248 and an ISO of 040. He's been nothing short of sensational here, which is why I brought up who actually is the better pitcher on the mound. Yep. Now, Yu Darvish, over the past 66 batters from the right side, he's done very well against. But lefties have been an issue here. 56 batters he's faced over the past month. How about this? A 300 ISO and a 375 weighted on base percentage. And again, why is that important? You're probably going to get 6 to 7 left-handed batters in the lineup today for the Baltimore Orioles. An intriguing dog here, but as we said also, there aren't really must-win games in Major League Baseball until you're like, okay, well, we got to win 7 of our final 8 games to get into the playoffs. This is still 6 weeks out, but my goodness, if there's ever a time to start a winning streak, it would be now. But then again, it's not as if you're taking on the Kansas City Royals or the Pittsburgh Pirates or somebody not really battling for a playoff position. This is the Orioles. They're looking to win the AL East. Should be a great matchup here. And if we keep it on the West Coast, another great matchup. How about Tampa Bay and San Francisco? If we line this game up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Glasnow versus Walker, Glasnow is the favorite at a minus 138 price and a total of 7.5. Are we leaning towards the Rays here, which might be a little bit short-handed in this series?
Well, it could very well be, but I don't know. This Giants team is so confusing to me here, Donnie. I just don't know how they're doing it. I can't wrap my head around the idea that in, you know, let's say 2 weeks here, we get to the end of August, that we're still going to be talking about the Giants in this race here, but they are. They're doing it with bullpens. They're timely hitting. And, you know, another great performance by Webb, their ace yesterday. It's kind of hard to step in front of this Giants train right now. I do think there are some distractions, to your point, with this Tampa team right now that may come into effect here out on the West Coast. But you got your ace going with Glasnow, right? At a pretty reasonable price. You better win this game number one here with him on the mound. So that's the way I'm leaning right now. I think Tampa gets it done with Glasnow in the first five. Donnie, that's where I'm looking at it.
I think you're right on that, because Glasnow's been nothing short of phenomenal. Like, on the season, he's done well, but the last 30 days, he's really kicked it up a notch, Joe. 102 batters in his face, an 0.95 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of 224. If we break that down for lefties and righties, it's actually funny. He says 51 lefties and 51 righties over the past 30 days, to lefties a 106 ISO, to righties an 086. And oh, yeah, he said, well, he gets the benefit of pitching down in the Trop. It's a pure pitcher's ballpark. You know where he's pitching tonight? Yeah, out on the West Coast at AT&T or T-Mobile, whatever they renamed it out there in San Francisco, the ultimate pitcher's ballpark. So if we're looking at the total there, think this game stays under tonight also? Or, you know, I know you like the Rays here in that first five.
Yeah, I would worry a little bit, because certainly, although the bullpen seems to be resting for the Giants, I think Webb went seven last night. So I kind of like the under here too as well there, with in all likelihood an Oracle not going to be one of those hot, humid evenings by any chance.
No, 65 degrees. That's a midsummer's night out there in San Francisco. How about that? But that'll do it pretty much for today's show. Listen Up segment coming up next. Joe Ranieri, you know what? Yeah, you've seen a lot of him. He's going to be back tomorrow morning on a Tuesday with us as well, right here on the Early Line. I'll close it down next. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
New week, new money. Final segment of the day for a Monday edition here of the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network. Today, Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside powering through. And by the way, Joe Ranieri will be back tomorrow on a Tuesday, and then the return of OK-Dub for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So make sure you stay tuned to that. And also, coming up next, the morning after with Ben Stevens, which I will be a part of over the first hour. Don't you go anywhere. Keep the dial locked right here to 159. Now, also, I got a lot of hot topics to get to. The NFL was very interesting to watch over the weekend. I thought the Philadelphia Eagles would lose the game and not cover against the Ravens. Well, they did lose the game, and they did cover. But also, some intriguing rookies out there on the field, which means Anthony Richardson, is he going to start, not start game one? We have a lot to decipher there. Major League Baseball card, sensational today. Let's see if we can cash in on our same game parlays. But I got to take some time to talk NBA basketball and James Harden. So listen up. Quote, let me say this again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be part of an organization that he is part of, despite being part of an organization in Houston and also Philadelphia. And Daryl Morey, who lets James Harden do whatever he wants and their basketball philosophy meshes, somehow can't get along right now. But the biggest issue here for the Philadelphia 76ers isn't actually in 2023-2024. It's what's going to take place after the season. Will Joel Embiid still be in his prime when you have a few max spots that will be opening? And also James Harden. You don't want to play basketball for $37 million a year. The Philadelphia 76ers took this same viewpoint with Ben Simmons when he said, I'll never play again. They sat him down until a deal came available that they liked and they did take. Now, we're saying to ourselves here in Philadelphia, I wonder if it's going to go down that same route as Ben Simmons here. We'll see if it gets that far. But the fact of the matter is, James Harden opted into this contract knowing that, quote unquote, Daryl Morey was a liar, and then figured he would get his money and would be able to run. not so fast here. The Philadelphia 76ers hold most of these cards. And also, is 2023-2024 just a throwaway season anyway in Philadelphia until those max spots are open the following year? Boy, we got a lot of drama to work out before this season does start. Make sure you stay tuned next. Ben Stevens and the Morning After coming up next.